In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's two verses right before the beginning of our gospel reading that I want to read first, and then we'll work our way through the gospel. Verse 21, chapter 18. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. It's 490 for those of you who are counting what you can get away with. Unlimited forgiveness toward a brother or sister is illustrated in this parable. The gist of the parable teaches us to forgive others who have sinned against us, especially if they fall down before us and ask for forgiveness. And it shows each of us how to see ourselves and how to live out our lives in forgiving others. Verses 23 through 25. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. In this, God is the king, and each of us is like the servant that owes the 10,000 talents. It's like a lifelong salary if you're a laborer or something along those lines. And sin is portrayed to us as a debt to God. In Matthew 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. From the Lord's Prayer that we pray each week. A debt that we could never pay. But thanks be to God that Christ has paid that debt for our sins, by his sacrifice, by his becoming man, and for his giving of himself, that we might live in holiness and eternal life. Thanks be to God. And we are the ones who owe 10,000 talents. Some of us owe more than that. Myself as one of those. And yet God uses, there's kind of a threat there of punishment. And God uses that to bring us to repentance. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing that brings us to repentance and before God. If we know that there is a punishment that's coming our way. The power of repentance and the Lord's love for mankind is shown in these verses. Repentance caused the servant to fall down, to prostrate himself before the king, and to cease from wickedness. And in his love for man, God forgave the debt entirely. Although the servant was not asking for complete forgiveness of the debt. That's not exactly what he asked for. He didn't say, take away all my debt, but for an extension of time that he might pay it back. God often gives so much more than we ask for, and more than we deserve, and puts our sins far away from us. As far as the east is from the west. As God has forgiven us much, should we not forgive others? And then we look at the second part of this. What did the servant do? What did he do? What was his reaction to the goodness of his master? Verses 28 through 30. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. It's about 100 days worth of work if you made a denarii a day. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. The man who was forgiven much attacked the other man with savagery and ingratitude. Didn't even give him a break, but jumped right on him. And the man said the same thing, "Be patient with me and I will repay you." In verse 31 through 33. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were grieved. And they came and told their master all that had been done. And then his master, after he had called him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servants, just as I had pity on you?" Saint Theophylact says, "The one who lacks compassion is not he who remains in God, but rather he who departs from God and is a stranger to him." In other words, if you don't have compassion in your heart, as God has had compassion on you and me, then you're not with God. He's cast you out and is a stranger to him. And you can know a person by the fruit in their life. You know a person, just as Christ said of the tree, you can know them by their fruit. Good fruit, rotten fruit. To me, the guy that owed the 10,000 talents displayed great rotten fruit after what he had been given. Good fruit or rotten fruit, not perfect fruit. I say that for myself. I think that, you know, there's just times when you may have some fruit, but then things aren't quite ripe. Maybe it's not ripe yet or just going too ripe. And each of us stumbles and falls, but then again, thanks be to God for his forgiveness to us. Not perfect fruit, but good fruit. Virtues, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forgiveness, compassions. What's interesting is I think you can use that. We live in a world where it's like, what do I do? What do I do about this or that? How do I know what's true? Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit that whatever it is bears. Is it truth? Is it lying? And you can put that filter on anything you want. Is that good? Circumstances with marriage in our country? No, it's rotten. It's not what God wants. And so you can take that filter and just say, good fruit, bad fruit. And if it's bad fruit, get away from it. It's bad music. If it's bad fruit coming out of the music, put it away, etc., as best you can. It's a filter for the world around us, good fruit and bad fruit. The master took away the gift from the wicked servant because of his lack of forgiveness and his inhumanity to the other man. Verse 35, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The love of God is manifested in paying off the debt. It's a remission. It's a letting go of the sins. And because God forgives us, we in return are obliged to grant this gift of forgiveness to others because of his kindness and his goodness to each of us. Let us give that to others. When each Christian forgives from his heart, true reconciliation and healing come to the church by God's grace. I can't say it any. St. Theophan and the Recluse puts a little bit different slant on it too. Makes it a little more personal from his little commentary. The Lord concluded the parable about the two debtors with the following words. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. It would seem that such a small thing is required. Forgive and you will be forgiven. When you are forgiven, you are received into mercy. And when you are brought into mercy, you have become a participant in all the treasures of mercy, of salvation and paradise and eternal bliss. What a great acquisition for such a small thing as forgiving. Yes, it is a small thing, but for our self-love, there is nothing more difficult than forgiving. For our own self-love, that's where it becomes hard to forgive. We might still forgive some unintentional annoyance dealt us in private that no one sees. But if the offense is just a bit more sensitive and it takes place in front of people, don't even ask. There is no forgiveness. There are circumstances when, whether you want to or not, you are not allowed to express your displeasure, and so you remain silent. However, only your tongue is silent. Meanwhile, your heart speaks and builds evil plans. Raise the annoyance yet another degree, and there is no restraint. Neither shame, nor fear, nor loss, nor any other thing will restrain you. Egoism, which has reached the boiling point, makes a person as though insane, and he who gives into it begins to talk foolishly. The people most subject to this unfortunate state are usually not just anyone. The more civilized one is, the more sensitive he is to insults, and the less forgiving. Relations will often remain smooth on the surface, but inwardly there is clearly discord. Meanwhile, the Lord requires that we forgive with our whole heart. I think he says it all. That little bit of ourself that wants to hang on and not forgive sometimes. God speaks to our hearts because he's good and holy and he loves us. Christ is moved with patience and compassion for us when we repent and ask for forgiveness. And he gives it to us. But we, you and I, must forgive others who sin against us. May God grant us the strength, the faith, the love to forgive those who sin against us. because he is good and holy, and he loves mankind. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.